Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Bishop Plato Angelakis and Sister Kia. What I'm kind of curious about is you were talking earlier about the dog kind of showing you where things were at. Has anyone ever done that or tried that? Like, you know what, we're going to get a dog. We're going to teach it kind of what to look for. And then for the times where Sister Key is not available, there's nobody else that's available, bring the dog. That almost seems like it might be a sensible thing, because people like Sister Kia are few and far between to find them, and those that know their abilities like she does. Would it be, I mean, it's essentially kind of like canary in a coal mine. It wouldn't be as good by any means as what you'll get out of someone like Kia, but
I suppose that's one idea I never really thought of. I mean, you could train a dog. I mean, the military trains dogs find bomb and you know and whatnot and but I mean most animals in the house are usually pretty sensitive anyway, and they actually will bark. I mean, I pulled out the Eucharist one time when I usually don't use the Eucharist, but I will pull it out to fight something bad, because the Eucharist is quite powerful. And I remember the dog I pulled the Eucharist out, the dog was just going crazy, because obviously whatever was there was reacting to the Eucharist. So the dog was barking at it, whatever it was, you know. So there are ways to use that, but I think, you know, you got to be really careful, because, you know, I mean, a dog can, I think a dog would have to be extremely trained. But then again, you know, I think people are better. And you say they're few and far between. There are a lot of people who have gifts. They just need to cultivate them. I think they've been brainwashed and sort of taught to think, oh, this is taboo. I shouldn't do this. You know, the church doesn't like this, or my family doesn't like that. I just think that, you know, I find that a lot of people have wonderful gifts. They need to be encouraged, lifted up, allowed to cultivate it, allow them to do it in a safe environment, so that, you know, they don't need to be like judged or anything, and allow them to practice it, practice their gift. Then they become really, really good at it. That is a concept, but I would have to train the dog and test the dog and trust the dog, and I'm dealing with people, real people who have real problems. And that's another thing, you know. A lot of people take this stuff like it's a joke. You know, I'm gonna send a paranormal team in, and I'll, you know, I'll charge $500, and I'm gonna, you know, put my cameras out and my audio equipment, my EVP meters, and, you know, and say, oh, you know, you have activity here. Okay, let's all wrap up. Let's go home now. And don't help the client. And you know, so, you know, these are real people with real problems, real families. They have financial hardships. They're having health issues, all because of some infestation or an attachment. And I want to help them. So to trust the dog, to make sure that I have everything cleansed, I have too much value in the clients that I have to deal with. I would rather have sensitives like Kia.
Sure. Since we're kind of on the topic, I'm curious, and a dog just barked. Oh, perfect timing.
That's my dog.
That's my dog. You know? He knows what he's telling you right now. He's like, no, I can help, damn it. I can help. Have you ever been in a situation where, you know, obviously you talked about a dog that, you know, it was acting up strange and that kind of keyed you into a certain area. Have you ever had heard of situations where a pet or an animal has become possessed or has an attachment of its own?
I haven't really dealt with any animals. I know I've heard that there has been, but I haven't. I think only to the extent where a demon will try, or a devil or someone that will try to leave a person and try to occupy another bodily space, which could be another animal while it's making transition to somebody else. You know, you can exorcise somebody, but you want to make sure that entity is actually sent back to where it belongs, and not necessarily go to an animal. I mean, Jesus did it, right? I mean, Jesus first was exorcism.
He did, yeah.
You know, legion, right? Well, yeah, he put him in the swine, right? You know, he says the demons asked that said, don't send us back. We know you're the God. Don't send us back, send us into the swine. And that's what Jesus did. But then the swine went into the water and drowned. So, so it's basically, you leave the body, but then they try to find other people or animals or something that they can occupy while they're in transition to perhaps infestate something else or someone else. So, when you're trying to exercise somebody, I try to make sure that those entities are going, not to anybody else in the home. That's why we make sure that we protect everybody in the family, mm-hmm. The home.
The animals are protected too. We will put holy oil on the animals. Like, I think I put holy oil on a gerbil one time, right? Just because it could be a living vessel. So, sure. I mean, it's kind of, just to make sure, and how you were asking how we do it. We work from the inside,
yeah,
or from the outside in kind of thing. So there's nowhere for it to run because we kind of seal the outside of the house first and come in and work that way. And then, everybody has to do confession with Father Plato. And, there's a procedure and medical forms and disclosures. And I do health history, and I do quick physical examination, blood pressure, oxygen levels, check mm-hmm. the pupils, that sort of thing, excuse me, and make sure that the person is all right. And if they need a break, then, we check their vitals throughout if there's an issue there. Mm-hmm. So it's, it helps being a nurse to do that for sure.
Yeah, we want to make sure that they're healthy enough to actually undergo a possession, an exorcism, should I say. They need to be able to handle, and I want to know what their health history is, because, I want to know if they don't have any mental health. You can have mental health and still be possessed.
Sure.
You can have both. So it really, but I was just thinking of one case that I did. I do salt around the house, and I make sure that all the members of the family, all the animals are in the home. They do not, nobody leaves until it's done. Because people try to say, open a window and do some sage and let it go out the window. No, I make sure that does not escape. I don't want it to actually leave. And I remember going to the one house I did recently out near Detroit area, like Windsor, Detroit, and the sensitive had gone through the house and said, well, it was the son who brought it into the home, but it was attached to the mother because it liked the mother, but it was the son who brought it in. That was what two of them actually said when they came back, individually. They didn't talk to each other. Said that it came from this room, it was the son's room, it was the son who brought it in, and it was attached to the mother. And it was funny that I said, okay, and then the father was saying, oh, what's going on? And that one son actually wanted to leave, actually had left the house, and I made the father tell the son to come back. And then when the son came back, I blessed him, and then I blessed everybody, and I made sure that he left. And now, of course, the house is cleansed, and so the person is gone. But he wanted to leave. The son wanted to leave. So you can see, he brought it in, and all of a sudden he wanted to leave. Well, whatever my efforts would have been in vain, because, it left. And then, of course, we would be gone, and he would just return, and nothing would have happened. So that's why I don't let anybody leave, because I don't know who's brought it in and who's actually, I don't know the whole dynamics. But it's funny, when I use these people with gifts, they tell me, oh, it was the son. It's the son. It came in via the son, but it's attached to the mother for some whatever reason. But again, there's a connection with the son. So I made sure the son did not leave. And he did leave. And the father actually called him and said, come on back. And he didn't want to, but we made him come back. And then once he came back, he stayed. And then everything was very successful. But again, I wouldn't know that, Tony, if I didn't have people telling me.
Sure.
That I'd be like, I would just go in and do my thing and not really know that, you know, the son has had a direct impact or a connection with the mother and how this is all kind of trans, mm-hmm. you know, how it came to be. So, you know, again, it's in closing, you put yourself into a bubble, you enclose yourself into a situation, everybody that all the members are there, family members, the animals, everything is there. No one leaves until it's done. And then that way we make sure that we don't let it escape. And you know, that's the whole, you know, we don't want anybody else, you know, affected by that. So again, that's just one example, but that's why I find that this is very successful is, mm-hmm. you know, I've got people with multiple eyes. I got people who can see at multiple levels that can help me. Cause without that, I'll tell you, I wouldn't even know what to do now without those gifts. You know, honestly.
You had mentioned earlier when you go into a case now, you're not even always looking at it as a demonic presence. You're looking at it as some sort of presence that there is there. If you're not performing an exorcism or helping rid something that is demonic, what exactly are you exorcising?
Well, you know, it's first of all, I need consent from the person. The person needs to tell me I want to be liberated. So again, you know, that's a positive, like that's something positive, right? So, you know, I get told to give me like, we do confession, whatever, and reconciliation. Again, I don't even have to go, I go beyond the ritual, the Roman ritual. I can just, it's basically trying to help a person, you know, say, I really want this thing gone, whatever it is. So you do have free will. I mean, you do have free will. Mm-hmm. And so my goal is to get that free will back to the person so they can actually make that decision and say, I don't want this anymore. I don't want this in me anymore. And you do have that kind of power for yourself to say, you know, I want this thing out of my house. I know you don't always need an exorcist. You know, you can say, I want this thing out of my home. I don't want that. There's boundaries here. I don't want you here. You know, whether it's an earthbound spirit or demonic or any infection at all that's going on. You know, you just say, you know what, this is my home. This is my boundary. I want you gone. I want, it's like enough's enough. But you have to want it. And you have to actually work at it. It's not just me coming in and waving a magic wand with Sister Kia, you know, and then it's gone. You know, it's I'm not Harry Potter. These people have to work. You know, I give them prayers. I give them like, you know, you have to start going to church, start doing whatever works for you. You don't have to do it. You know, I help anybody that's not even Catholic. I don't care. I don't care what denomination you are. I don't care. It's I need you to change your attitude and your belief in that I want to get better. I want this in my own. I'm taking control of myself. I'm taking control of my own senses, my own abilities, and saying, you know, it's empowering people, trying to empower them to say, you know, and then they have to carry on their journey because I'm gone with Sister Kim. We're gone. We're not coming back. You know, we've done our thing. Now it's up to them to carry on, you know, start praying together as a family or doing things positive, change their erring ways, whatever you're doing that's wrong, change it, you know, and make those things, you know, to be fruitful in your family, in your home, you know, they get all that positive vibes going, whatever it is. And I don't know. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, they've seen, you know, aliens sort of like interdimensional beings, you know, affect people to control them in a way, to control their behavior so that they go out and do something that might be, you know, in the world, you know, to I don't know, like, you know, who knows, right? I mean, they're talking about politicians, the people who are in positions of authority are being infiltrated by, you know, aliens and whatever. I mean, I'm hearing this kind of thing, and I mean, I know some people have said they've seen it, they've seen it in their eyes, you know, and it's not necessarily demonic because they're not afflicted. They don't seem demonic. They're not acting like they're possessed, and, you know, and screeching and howling and, you know, like doing all kinds of things, you know, like they you normally see. You just see ordinary people living ordinary lives. But you can see it in their eyes that they've got some kind of agenda. There's something going on behind the scenes within themselves, whether they voluntarily allow that to happen for whatever purpose, but they're in a position of authority and they're obviously having some kind of effect in society. Whether in their decision making, so there is some kind of influences going on. And I'm starting to see that, and people are talking about it. I'm investigating more. So I'm willing to help anybody, you know, and to find a way. But again, it all depends on it. There are people who do not want to be exercised. They don't want to be helped. Leave me alone. I'm happy with what I'm doing. You know, they don't want that. So under those circumstances, we can't do anything. I have to have their consent. Even in the Roman Catholic Church, you know, in Rome, Vatican, you have to have that undivided, that consent. I don't want this here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, Plato did study at the Vatican. He didn't mention that before, but he studied the exorcism course at the Vatican as well. So
yeah, so this is I was supposed to go there, but because of the COVID, I didn't get a chance to physically go to Italy. But I mean, mm-hmm. they did online courses instead. So they went into the mental health part, how to distinguish between one and the other. But the primary thing is you have to have consent. You walk in. You know, what do you want? I want to be healed. I want to be liberated from this. And then with the consent, that empowers you to help them to do what they need to do to get rid of that. And then they have to also do the work. They have to do the work themselves. They have to make the changes in their lives. Some people, I've had people call me, and Sister Kid knows about this. People call me and say, well, I don't really believe in God at all. I'm an atheist. But can you come help me get rid of this thing? You know, and then I want to go back to my life the way it was. It's like, well, I kind of use God, you know, in what I do. So if you don't believe in God, this is not going to work. So, you know, there's people who just want to be helped. Or I've had people say, you know, I lost my wife, I lost my job, I lost my home, I must be possessed. No, you just lost your home, you lost your wife, you lost your job. You're not possessed. So, you know, you get so many people who don't really understand they just think that, you know, everything's going bad in my life, that I must be affected by a demon. No, life...
Sometimes life sucks.
It sucks. Yeah. You know, it sucks to be you. You're not possessed. Yeah. I didn't tell you. But I mean, I'll give you a blessing regardless. But again, if we find that they are, we have to ask for consent. And I'll be honest with you, I've had a lot of people say, I don't want help.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, their daughters or their kids might call me and say, my mom or my dad or whatever. And I'll go, you know, but it's the kids who want that. The actual individual has said no. I actually exercised one person years ago, and after I exercised them, the lady says, I want it back. I want the demon back. I said, what do you mean, I want it back? Because she said, I've lived with this thing for so many years, now I feel empty without it, and it came back. It came back, and I said, I'll help you. She called me about, I think, 6 months later saying, no, come help me. I said, I can't, because you asked for it back. Like, you know, like it's really that serious. And yeah. Like apparently she was actually worse off than when I found her. But she specifically said her
is that
parents.
Is that the one that broke her arm?
Yes.
To get out of the restraints?
Yeah, it was. She threw us across the room.
Oh my God.
Four adult males, including, she's a 60-year-old woman, hadn't eaten in a month. Her daughter was the one who said she needed help. So I went to her and I said, you know, do you want this gone? I said, yeah, okay, whatever. And she broke through her restraints, broke her arm. We had the police were involved because she pulled a knife on us and everything. And it took 2 days, obviously, when it was one of my first ones. So, I mean, I learned a lot from that as well, but you know, I learned it. And she was not completely convinced that she wanted this thing gone. And then when it was gone, she felt empty, asked for it back, and it came back. You know, I said, well, I can't help you now because you've asked for it back. You know, you know, it's all about consent, right? And you really have to be careful. You know, what you ask for and what you want, what you want. I mean, I tell these paranormal teams when they go in for an investigation, I say, watch your words, you know, watch what you say and how you say, because you say, well, you know, turn my flashlight on or hit me again, tell me you're here, or, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, do whatever. Like, you really gotta be careful, because, you know, they live in a spiritual realm. We live in a physical realm. We are not really supposed to go into their realm. We're not supposed to come into our realm unless we give consent. And of course, a lot of us do give consent inadvertently, you know, sometimes or intentionally. And I mean, like I said, people, you go every time you go into a paranormal situation where there's activity, you're knocking on the spirit world door. And you know, you might be knocking on Satan's door, and you know what? They're going to answer. You're giving, and you're going in there, and you're saying, you know, hey, who are you? Tell me who you are. You know, speak to us. Talk into the spirit box. You know, do this. You're telling them to do. You're giving them consent to come into our realm, and you know, and then they cry foul when they go home. They say, "Well, we brought home an attachment." Well, what do you expect? You know, you didn't protect yourself. We're going in. You didn't do your post cleansing. You didn't do any of this stuff, and you know, you went in there, you started knocking on the spirit world because you're all inquisitive, and that, again, people who do tarot cards and Ouija boards, all these, you're actually trying to tap into someone else's realm. You're knocking on someone's door. If you go to someone's house, start knocking on the door, they're going to answer. Now, what do you want? Why are you here? Right, you know, and you don't know whose door you're knocking on. Mm-hmm. You don't know who's behind that door. It could be Dahmer. It could be anybody. Yeah. Right, you don't know. Right, so again, you know, this is what people don't understand. You know, oh, I want to be a paranormal investigator. I want to be a demonologist. Well, do you really know what you're asking? This is not the first thing. This is, do you know what you're actually asking? You know what you actually are doing? You're going in there and you're starting to use technology, and then you're going there and you're starting to knock on doors. You're using psychics, you're using seances, you're doing all kinds of equipment. You're trying to tap into things, and you're basically giving them consent to come into the physical world. And then, you know, then you cry foul and you say, oh my God, what have I done? You know, and you know, they can't enter without our consent. They're not permitted. It's God that says free will. God will not even interfere in your life. He won't send angels for help unless you call for God. You call God for help, you pray, you ask for help, you ask for intercession, you get it. Otherwise, God will not interfere in your free will. Like manner, in the demonic or any other spiritual realm, whatever it might be, you know, they cannot interfere unless you give them consent. And we do. We with our actions, our evil, like we talked about earlier on this interview, mm-hmm. You know, way we are, our hopelessness, our evil intent. We want to rob people. We want to, you know, we're envious with people. We're jealous. All these negative things. We're really, in a sense, inadvertently giving people consent. We're giving the spirit world consent to come and infiltrate our life. Like what Sister Kier just mentioned, you know, her Reiki, you know, it changes the energy into a positive one. I mean, a negative energy cannot dwell where a positive energy exists. That's basically common sense, right? So this is what, she's changing the positive, the negative into a positive environment for that individual, how they feel inside. Everything's back into an alignment. Everything's supposed to be like the way it's supposed to be, natural. So it's very hard for a negative presence to dwell in someone who's positive. So if you're, you know, it's just common sense. But, you know, when you start knocking on the spirit world and it's all negative and it's, you know, I'm having a paranormal activity, I'm being scratched, I'm this and all that, that's a negative environment. Well, you know, you start to dwell in that, you start to, like play around in that environment. Well, this is what you're calling in, mm-hmm. Right? You're bringing that into yourself. So, again, this is the basic thing. But I mean, there's so many people out there that want to be involved in the paranormal. They're so fascinated with the paranormal, you know, and all the evil things that are going on. I don't give evil an opportunity to give it a platform, or give it energy. Don't give it any power. Yeah. You know, I want to just stop it in its track. I want to just, you know, I want to beat it down. But people out there, they go to movies. You know, I mean, I did a paranormal convention down in Upper State New York, and a person in the audience raised his hand. I said, if I watched the movie The Exorcist back in 1977, you know, by watching the movie, would I become possessed? I said, well, what's the intent of watching the movie? Are you watching it because you just like horror movies, or are you watching it for some other reason? And he says, well, I'm a paranormal investigator, so if I ever get involved, where there's a demonic presence, I want to know what to do. Well, Hollywood's not teaching you what to do.
It's not a guidebook.
Exactly, but this guy honestly believed that if he saw the movie, that it would give him the how to actually deal with the demonic. And so he wants to, you know. So, you know, first of all, that's not the right way. There's a lot of, you know, Hollywood involved in there. It's essentially, you know, it's all been glorified.
Yeah,
and they don't get it, right? But why are you even thinking that? I mean, you know, if you go into a situation like that and you're over your head, you know, in a situation you can't handle, call for help. Well, they don't. Yeah. They just leave. They leave the client worse off than we find them. You know, they like, oh, I'm a demonologist. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. And it's like, it's not a glamorous job. It really isn't. We don't get paid for this. I am a nurse. That's how I make my living. I don't get, it's not glamorous. It's dirty. I get spit on. I get pushed. I get, you know, like it's not a glamorous job. But everybody,
that's just when he's hanging out with me too. So.
Well, yeah. not very glamorous. Yeah. But
one more question. One more question before we wrap it up. I'm curious to get your guys' opinion on this. Is there an abundance of people out there that are possessed without even knowing it or have some sort of attachment? And this is kind of almost going full circle as to what I talked about in the beginning. I mean, you look at some of the headlines. Nurse charged with killing 7 babies. Virginia man arrested after killing 4 people in home. 17-year-old accused of attacking a teen met on Snapchat, then runs her over in a Walmart. I mean, these are just like, what, like, if you were... I mean, I get drugs. Drugs can make people do some pretty crazy shit that would also look evil. And I could see it kind of working hand in hand. But is there...
Well, no, there is. I mean, it goes hand in hand. If you go back from history, you know, when they took prayer out of the school, right? Then kids started killing kids. You never saw kids kill kids before that.
Yeah.
You never saw kids going to school with a rifle and start shooting other kids for the heck of it. And you take prayer out of the school system, which they did, right? They took prayer out of school, made it all, you know, sentient, made it all neutral, you know, no religion in the school, no more. You used to say prayers, you know? You used to do the Our Father every morning. I remember when I was a young kid, you know, we all had a chance to go in on the microphone, and that's all, you know. And if you weren't Christian, then you just sort of just said your own prayer or whatever. We used to all go to the auditorium. We used to go to the auditorium for our prayers and then back to class. You never saw kids killing kids back then. All of a sudden, people are killing kids. You took the church in the state. They separated church from state, you know, and you start seeing the courts change the rules. All of a sudden, you start seeing, you know, other things in the world occur. So you always goes hand in hand with what you're seeing. You know, you see all these mass shootings and mass killings. You know, why are people doing that? Like, you know, so there has to be some kind of influence. There has to be something that, you know, made that person want to do that. You know, so who's to say? I think there are people who are afflicted, who are, who for some reason or other being involved with wrong people or just maybe doing things that maybe it made them think, you know, that they should go and do that. You know, I don't know. Like, it's hard to tell. Again, until someone actually calls myself or assistant says, hey, listen, I think I'm possessed, or there's something going on, or I got scratches in my body and I need help. Unless I get the call for help, we don't know. There must be people out there that don't even realize what that is. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the rite of exorcism wasn't even brought out until the movie 1977, when the Exorcist movie came out. People were like, oh my God. They were like horrified. They were scared to death. Mm-hmm. But before that, you never heard about exorcism. But it's been in the church for centuries. They just got rid of it. They just don't bother with it.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes you wonder because you look at some of this stuff and you go, I mean, it's beyond, the pale of imagination. It's not just like one every now and then, like you had back in the good old days of Dahmer. You got this stuff everywhere. I know. I mean, it literally makes you say, like, back in the good old days of Dahmer.
Well, we watch it. We've got more horror movies out there. We've got more demonic movies. We've glorified the devil on TV. We make shootings. You watch a movie, they say there's something like 800 violent acts in one movie, which we don't even recognize. Sure. And the kids and all the video games that are out. So if you look hand in hand at all the things from television to video games, everything that we're exposed to, you know, like what do we, like, you know, before that we didn't have any. We didn't have this number of situations. All of a sudden, you know, the TV is not putting these wonderful movies out there. Everybody, you know, they're killing everybody, and then you've got the video games that are so violent.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you ask yourself, why did a kid go into a school with a shotgun and kill 20 kids? You know, where did he get that from? Well, how do I know where he got it from? But we're seeing that 1950 or 60. Yeah. You know, and yet, you know, then all of a sudden these video games come out, and all this television and all these movies, the horror movies, things are coming out. And like I said, there's a guy there in the audience who thinks the movie The Exorcist 1977 is a handbook. It's not a handbook. It's you know, there is no spinning head. I've never seen a woman spin her head yet. I mean, I'll let you know if I do.
Yeah,
but
let
I haven't
me know.
Seen that yet. But this guy obviously thinks this is real and that this is actually happening. And they're feeling, they're like a spider. They're walking on the ceiling or down the stairs upside down. I mean, this is what they're thinking. This is mm-hmm. Hollywood, and this is a lot of paranormal shows. Sorry, you know, they add a lot of content. because, you know, honestly, I'll be honest with you, an exorcism is not, it's not fantastic. It's kind of boring, actually.
It's not going to, you know,
if it's done, if it's done right.
Not going to drive subscriptions to Netflix.
I mean, I've got pictures where exactly, you can see the eyes change, you can see some things change, and I've got pictures of the transformation. But it's nothing that, you know, like I said, Netflix is going to want to call and say, let's do this, right? Yeah. So they add a lot of stuff to this, and then people watch TV and they think, well, this is great, you know, I want to do this. Well, it's not glamorous. It really isn't. It's kind of boring, to be honest with you. But it needs to get done. It's an important thing. It needs to get done. People take it seriously. People are really affected. It's real life, and it's not movie life. And you know, we watch this stuff on TV, and we watch this stuff on video games, and they think, yeah, it's okay to kill whatever. It's okay to have revenge on your neighbor and whatever and stuff. And then, of course, add in your current environment, economics, you know, and the pandemic and all the other things just to help fuel this. And then you got a kid going to, you know, going around killing the kids.
And also the level of the number of people that have stopped going to church, say from like the 60s compared to now, is huge, right? Like that used to be part of people's lives. They would go to church on Sundays for services, right?
Sure.
And that doesn't happen so much anymore. Not many people go to services. You know, some churches have had to close because their parish was too small. And, you know, I always say that I don't care where your butt is on Sunday, but, you know, it'd be nice if you prayed to whatever higher power you believe in, because when you pray, especially if a group of people are praying together, it raises the vibration, you know, it makes that positive energy come out even more so. So, but there's definitely more evil in the world, and some of it is nature versus nurture. You know, I find that there's a lot more psychopaths and narcissists out there that you'll come across, and they feel very different when you're trying to read them. Because they are very convincing, right? They've got that mask on, and they think they can fool you. But then eventually it comes down, and it's like, okay, I see you for what you really are. But there's definitely more. I mean, my son had an oppression. When I was not long after I took my vows, and that was the only time I've really ever been afraid in the paranormal, because I was by myself with him. I was just a new sister. And, you know, black orbs came up the stairs and went for him. And he was like, there was something in him that shouldn't have been in him. Put it like that. And it was like, it was up to me to get it out of him. And I think that was a test, honestly. I think I was trying to get scared out of the ministry.
Yeah.
And you know, that was part of it. Evil was trying to like go, okay, let's scare the crap out of her and see if she still wants to hang around, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't like negative energy, and they're bullies, and I don't like that. You know, I got bullied when I was a kid, and it's the same kind of feeling when I lived in a house that was infested before I even got into the paranormal. You know, the people are like, how did you live there? And I'm like, I don't know. I just did. It was my house. And I made sure that it was well known. It was my house. And in no uncertain terms was it to ever touch my child, you know, ever.
Yeah.
And it got to the point that it would hide from me. But I mean, I had a really crazy, crazy haunting. Like Plato went into that house and he was like, who in the F sleeps in this room? I'm like, that would be the Thunderdome. That's my room. Like, that's where all the bad stuff happens, you know? He's leaning on the bed going, oh my God, I feel sick. I'm like, yeah, try living here.
It was a bad house. But anyway, like I said, it's just, when people live this way all the time, they think it's normal. I think it's just natural. My life sucks because it's natural. No, your life doesn't need to suck. You can change things, and it's all coming down between negative and positive. You know, you just need to be positive. If we all just had a positive outlook, you know, I think things will just change automatically. Just like I said, evil is negative, and negative cannot dwell where positive exists. So if we all just changed our outlook and be more positive, it would be very hard for them to dwell in that environment. You know, and so this is why we use the blessed objects, the blessed water, the salt, the blessed medals and medallions, and I put them in around the house and the crucifixes in the Bible, because it's supposed to make negative uncomfortable. So they've not, so they don't stay, they leave. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point, right? You want to make your environment as positive. You have family dinners, you have family prayer time. This is all positive. They don't like that stuff. They'll leave. They'll just leave. But you know, they don't. Unfortunately, they, you know, everybody's on their cell phone. They're all like, the whole family sits at the dining room table and they're all on their cell phone. No one's talking to each other. There's no more communication. You go out to the mall and they're all in the food court and they're all sitting beside each other and they're all on their phone. Mm-hmm. You know, and no one's talking to each other. No one's actually, you know, or like, you know, you call your kids down. Hey, you know, dinner's ready. No one answers. You just text everybody, and you know, they all come running down. Like, you know, so you know, it, you know, dinner's ready on a text, and they all come running down the stairs. But you call them, and they don't come. So it's just the whole environment's changed. Everything's just, you know, we're all introverted ourselves into our technology, and we've this stuff's supposed to make us a little bit more. Our life easier. It's made it worse, but it is what it is. So people just need to change. And that's really what we're teaching. We're not just going there to exercise people. We want to teach them how to change their lives and do a new journey and, you know, and carry on forward so that they don't get affected. And then they continue living wholesome lives and the kids and everything. It's not just coming in anymore and just throwing water and salt and saying, okay, the demon's gone. See you later. We want to actually teach them, elevate them, self-empower them. It's all that. We want to teach them. You know, we want to do videos on Facebook. We have a YouTube channel we're working on. We want to start doing videos to help people think about gratitude, forgiveness. You know, start thinking about some of the basic things that really will make quite a difference in our lives. Because right now it's all fear-mongering. The news, the media, you know, there's no future, there's no life, there's no nothing, you know, to look forward to. And that's not true. It's not true at all.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Bishop Plato Angelakis and Sister Kia. Be sure to check out the link to their YouTube channel in the episode notes. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I am Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.